Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah. What's up, boys?
Hey, hey. Hello. What's happening?
Oh, man. I am partying so hard. I'm getting my liver in order for the Super Bowl, and so that consists of, like, small pints of vodka in the morning.
Yep. We did a run in Choctaw for Super Bowl week, and it didn't work out very well in the morning as we sounded wore down.
Yeah, it was.
We're trying to work our way up, you know, practice. We need reps. It's like training camp.
I'm going
to
practice again this weekend.
I think I am also.
You know, and we have, speaking of Choctaw, we have multiple casino options down there, too.
Oh, that's right. We do.
Oh, yeah.
We do have casinos.
So, a lot going on. A lot going on. Speaking of New Orleans, this guy says, local NOLA guy here, wondering how much time you guys have spent down here and what your favorite memories are or your best memory is.
I've been several times. I'd guess about 15 times. When I lived in Birmingham, going to New Orleans was not much further than going to, say, Austin or, like, maybe San Marcos down in that area, New Braunfels. It's about a four and a half hour drive. So we would go for a weekend from time to time. And I don't know. I've been when I was younger and we would party on Bourbon Street. And I've been when I was older and we didn't even go to the French Quarter. And I think I probably preferred that. Like checking out the other parts of New Orleans that aren't the French Quarter?
You have to do all the other things first, of course. You have to go down to Bourbon Street and walk down and get a hand grenade and all that. Yeah. I can't even count the number of times I've been. We would go every December, then we switched it and went on Easter every year. So that is one of my favorite towns. And it's just exploring different options to eat because people can tell you so many different options in restaurants and they're all good, but you can't go to all of them.
There's a million. No.
So you just have to pick out your favorites and make sure you try something new every now and then. But it's almost always the consistent menu because we know we love it so much.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a bad meal there. I've had a better meal than others, but I don't think I've ever had a bad meal there. The food is just otherworldly.
I've had weird times just exploring the city, but I think, you know, one time we randomly found some house in a neighborhood that was this kick-ass, like, speakeasy bar. And I love the Garden District. There's some really cool, like, old bars in there. Like, if you take the trolley over by Tulane and just kind of take it around.
Man, Tulane, that whole area is great.
It's beautiful, and the history that's over there in that area is really cool.
We asked someone working at a hotel once, their favorite restaurant, and they told us, and we hadn't never been there before. So we went, and you have to have a collared shirt to go there. And if my buddy didn't have one, but if you give him your license, they have a closet full of shirts because they expect everyone not to have the collar shirt. Yeah. So they have some for you if you want to dine there. And the food was spectacular.
Man, one of the first time I ever went, I was 19, I think, maybe 20, freshman, sophomore in college. And we drove down there. And speaking of like snow in New Orleans, an ice storm had just hit Texas. And we drove. It was so stupid. Like, we drove all night to get down there, I think for Fat Tuesday, like the last day of Mardi Gras. But we met some people that my buddies knew that went to Tulane, and I could not believe Tulane and the scene down there and the bar. I was just like, oh my God, I would have flunked out in 3 seconds. Seriously.
That's pretty crazy, man. There's so much different vibe to New Orleans that you can do. Just kind of however you choose that you want to explore that city, which is cool.
What is the percentage of DMs that work for athletes compared to normal people? So let's say that some athlete, which I guess it's noted in their bio, like, you know, cornerback, Atlanta Falcons, that works a DM as opposed to just generic dudes like us?
The athlete, they are probably shooting way over 50%. And the dudes like us are around probably 8.
Kelsey Travis.
That's impressive.
Maybe even less than that.
I was going to say.
Dude, I think the hit rate overall for generic DM guy is less than 1%. But it's like the scam calls. You're always going to find one.
Right. And that's all you
need. That's true.
But I think
now with, you know, how we would go and our main mission, Corby, when we went to parties in high school, college, It was just to get a phone number so you can call someone. And you think about the hit rate you would get if you got a phone number and called a particular girl. Now, that's the phone number. It's give me your Instagram on your Instagram or whatever. So now when you have that DM, that's why I think the hit rate, even for regular Joe Schmo, is a little bit higher now because they're offering up Instagram handles like phone numbers.
That's correct.
And our hit rate on phone numbers was not bad. Once you got a number,
well, what do you consider? Because from somebody very close to me, my brother, that is a master of this. Like he'll get Instagrams like crazy, but I don't know what the hit rate would be considered of turning that into something that happens.
Yeah, I mean anybody. Instagram's public domain, right. So
I just feel like that's the way of the world now, and that's how it goes. So I think the hit rate is a little bit better because that's what people are definitely paying attention to.
Let's see here. From Tim, what assistant NFL coach did you think would be great but ended up flopping? He says he thought Charlie Weiss would be great when he went to Notre Dame and Dave Wannstedt was going to be great when he went to the Bears from the Cowboys. Is that right?
That's probably true. I think I probably thought that Dave Wannstedt would be really, really successful because of that whole team and the staff that they came from.
Yeah, you thought Norv was going to be great.
Yeah.
When he left.
It's nature versus nurture. Like it's those guys were gifted they had a great squad around them, you know, like when they were with the Cowboys. And then when you try to venture out on your own and you don't have the quarterback and you don't have the defense, and it's just so many factors go into being a successful coach that nobody is guaranteed.
And even the players that they plucked when free agency was becoming a thing and they were plucking all those players from the Cowboys and Alvin Harper and Larry Brown and those guys leaving to go take the money, and they weren't nearly as effective as they were on the Cowboys. It was just that whole makeup was perfect. That team was put together perfectly that when you started plucking it away, the Dallas Cowboys suffered, but then those other players couldn't live up to what they did in Dallas because their roles were so defined.
I think honestly when Josh McDaniels first left New England that a lot of people anticipated, because he had been there for a few years under Belichick, and it was time, you know, with the Brady thing and all that. And, I mean, he was a coach when Tebow won that playoff game, wasn't he, in Denver?
No.
I think.
He wasn't?
That was John Fox.
Okay.
He was the coach in 2009 and 2010. He drafted Tebow.
Yeah, he drafted Tebow.
But got fired that year.
All right. Yeah, and he's just proven he's just not a head coach. And I don't even know. Apparently New England thinks he can still be an OC. Who knows?
Speaking of Belichick, Steve says, what do you think the girlfriend of Bill Belichick, what do you think the parents of the girlfriend of Bill Belichick thinks of their relationship? Assuming the parents are around mid-50s or so if she's 24.
Well, I would guess that her dad's not very involved in her life.
Why would you say that?
Dude, it's a 50-year difference.
Just a guess. It's just a guess.
50. There's got to be some problems with her.
It's a blanket statement, and I don't appreciate it.
It's just a guess.
It's playing the average law of averages. If you get 20 strippers in a room, odds are they have a higher hit rate as far as bad relationships with parents or dads than the 20 that are juniors in college somewhere. That's a fact.
Okay, don't yell at me.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
No. And so if some 24-year-old is dating a 74-year-old,
that's
something's going on,
and
dude.
Rich. See, that's the only thing about it. If they're dating a 74-year-old that's not as wealthy as Bill Belichick, maybe that's one thing. But it could just be for clout and that he's really taking good care of her and she didn't have to do a thing.
To be fair, maybe when they first met, she thought, man, I bet this guy's in his 50s. And she didn't really have a concept of it. So in her mind.
No. She knew because they were on a plane together, right?
Yeah.
She asked him to sign a book.
And she was like,
knew. Right. She knew. She knew what she was doing.
He asked for her Instagram and he DM'd her.
He's.
That is a really weird situation because in reality, chances are he's older than her parents.
Like, oh, much older.
Yeah, I would think so.
The parents are in their 50s. She's right. 24, dude.
Apparently, they worked on fishing boats and manage a sex shop named Toys of Eros in Princeton, Princeton.
So there they
Town.
Go. So the parents, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're taking care of our daughter. You're whatever. If she's happy, I don't know.
And then they go out to eat, and Belichick picks up the bill because he gets money off.
Mom is 61.
Okay.
They own a sex shop.
Yeah.
So they're probably totally cool with all of this.
Right. They're like, oh my gosh, look at this. We have a Bill Belichick replica.
So lingerie, sex toys,
probably
and
helps
erotic
out the,
books.
What they can sell.
You think they have a Bill Belichick dill?
Okay. He just stood there and modeled for it.
It's Dill Belichick.
Well, that's a great name. Dump this. Let's make some money off that.
Hey, oh, it's great. Dill. And it comes with rings because, of course, he's a champion.
Yes. Eight of them. Eight rings.
You get them in a pack?
From Dill Belichick.
Yeah, they're sold separately.
These are great.
Dude, that's awesome.
Get your Dill Belichick with a pack of rings.
Mm. Any Super Bowl stories from rooming with Norm? So I only roomed with him once. We were in Jacksonville, and I don't even remember what year that was. But the one thing that I remember more than any other was his affinity for TV dinners that involve fish. And he would microwave, instead of going to dinner, he would microwave these fish-laden TV dinners, which smelled so bad. And then he would eat some of it and then throw the rest in the trash, and it smelled, it made the room smell for days.
Yeah, he will get something to eat and go back to the room, and he's just a room body. He's not going out and hanging or anything like that. So I really didn't room. Only time I roomed with Norm was a training camp in San Antonio, and we had different sleeping areas, but the common living room. That's the only time. Other than that, when we were sharing rooms, I always roomed with Bob.
Who was Norm staying with?
I don't know.
Well, me one year, that's for sure.
That's the Super Bowl you guys talk about a lot because you had a 45-minute to an hour drive. Because
we were staying in Georgia, and the Super Bowl was in Florida.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What? The game was in Jacksonville.
Right. No, yeah, it was in Jacksonville.
Right, oh. Yes.
Do you think, though, that like when he was – because we met him when he was in his 50s-ish.
What? Ish. Sure, yeah, late 50s.
And he never really wanted to do much as far as like going out, like you said, and hanging out. And
if it's not
did team, he ever?
No, if it's not team dinner, it is stop. I'll stop and get something to eat on the way home, no matter what time the show is done, and then it's just in the room.
But like when he was in his 30s and 40s, was he doing that too?
I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody had a horse and carriage so he can get around and maybe he could
He's going to the saloon.
Yeah, could he crank the car so he can get enough miles to go to the saloon?
Come on. He's like, I remember speakeasy.
Big jerk. Awesome.
I am. All right, Corby, thank you so much. Stuff, thank you, Corby. P1s. Every Wednesday at 11:30, it's the Birdhouse, and we love it so.